Welcome back to the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KFGO on this, what day is it? Wednesday afternoon in Fargo, Moorhead, the Red River Valley, western Minnesota, eastern North Dakota, northeastern South Dakota, and areas everywhere in between. Our special guest right now is on the phone from Washington, D.C. That's the nation's capital last time I checked. She is United States Senator Heidi Heitkamp. And tomorrow there is going to be a subcommittee hearing about rail safety in this great nation of ours. And of course, when you talk about rail safety, the first thing your mind goes to is the derailment near Castleton, North Dakota, near the end of December. And Senator Heitkamp wants to make sure that she wants to make sure things like that don't happen again. And if they do, what are the steps we're taking to make sure that our citizens are safe? Hello, Senator Heitkamp. How are you?
How are you doing, Mike?
You know what? I'm waiting for spring in Fargo, Moorhead. And it's 18 degrees last time I checked, so we're getting halfway there. We're almost there.
Aren't you going to spring training this year?
I just got back. It was wonderful. Oh, it was fantastic. No, it was.
Yeah, well, then don't be complaining about the weather too much.
Well, I can complain if I want it. I get paid to complain. That's how I earn my paycheck, is by complaining. You have a brother who does the same. Trust me. Ask my wife. She knows how much I complain. A whole bunch. Hey, what's going on with this hearing tomorrow? It's 11 o'clock. It's been rescheduled till tomorrow, right? But what's happening?
Well, when we got back after the Castleton derailment, I approached then Senator Warner, who was the chair of the subcommittee, and ranking member Roy Blunt, and said, look, I think it's critically important that we not just kind of leave this up to the media to talk about what's going on, or leave it up to the regulators to get in rooms and talk about this, that we really need to have a public hearing of what those concerns are, let members ask questions, really bring in everyone who is involved in this, and have a very good member-level discussion about railroad safety. And so that was done. Obviously, we had to, because of a snowstorm, it was canceled and it's been rescheduled. Now with a new ranking, or with a new chairman, Blumenthal, but we're going to go ahead tomorrow, and I anticipate that even though I'm not on the committee, they've invited me to sit in as a committee member and ask questions and do some opening statements. But just to give you a sense of who's all going to be there, Federal Railroad Administration, PHMSA, which is the Pipeline and Hazardous Material Safety Administration, the National Transportation Safety Board, Federal Communications Commission, American Petroleum Institute, the Association of American Railroads. And so all the major players will be in the room talking about one thing, which is how do we keep this product moving on the rails and protect, first and foremost, the safety of the public.
So you're going to make an opening statement, and you're going to be able to ask questions. So what are you going to say in your opening statement? Give us a flavor of that. And then what are the questions you're going to ask? Because, from a layman standpoint, from a basic standpoint, it's my question would be, how can we make sure that the citizens of Castleton or Fargo or Moorhead or Duluth or St. Cloud are safe in these things?
Well, I think my opening statement is going to be that, number one, there's a whole lot of people saying, well, we just need to build more pipelines, and that's absolutely true, but we are not going to see this product off the rails. It's just not going to happen. It's going to be a method of transportation for crude oil coming out of North Dakota for years to come. So it's absolutely critical that we get this right, that we open up the discussion the way they have. The second point that I want to make, which is that everybody can agree on what, everybody can disagree, I guess, on what should be the policy reaction. But the frustration that I have is you shouldn't disagree on things that are provable as a matter of science. And, we've issued a couple letters trying to get at this discrepancy between the industry and the regulators, PHMSA, on what exactly is Bakken crude. How are they testing it? At what points are they testing it? What changes in the testing based on it moving, is it venting a different way? And so the industry has shown us the outline that they've been discussing with PHMSA. PHMSA has been less willing to come forward and talk about what their testing method is. But I really want to challenge them to get down to what is actually fact. Which is, what is this, and how do we change how we move it based on what we know about the product? Now, right now, most of this is being categorized in package group one, which means that it's moving the way the most volatile product would move. And so it won't necessarily change how it's moving, except it will inform us and provide the input to first responders, and it also will, I think, result in speed adjustments and routing decisions that could, in fact, lead to greater public safety.
You're talking about the volatility or the flammability of Bakken crude,
yep.
And if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that there was a North Dakota regulator by the name of Lynn Helms who at one point during this process said, well, it's really not any more flammable or any more volatile or any, you know, less safe to transport than other forms of oil. And I think that shortly after the Castleton derailment was proven wrong. It is a volatile substance and maybe more volatile or not more volatile.
I think there's some folks in the industry that share Lynn Helms' opinion about the volatility of this, and that's why I think it's important to actually have legitimate tests. Now, if you talk to some of the folks who move this product, they'll tell you it is more volatile. But at this point, without the actual science and the testing, you know, we all have opinions, but nobody really has the information that's necessary to formulate an informed decision. And so that's why we're pushing very hard for a process for testing.
Sure.
I think going forward, and you might ask why the Federal Communications Commission is on this list. The Congress has been pushing very hard for positive train control, which would, in fact, help us slow down the trains if there's an incident ahead of them. It gives a more immediate reaction to trouble on the tracks. Unfortunately, because FCC has drugged their feet on this, because it's quite a lengthy process in terms of notice out to Indian tribes and to anyone who may be affected, we haven't seen positive train control moving forward. That has frustrated the rails. And I think with this kind of these episodes, it reminds us again how important that initiative is. The other thing that I'm very interested in is the kind of technology. We're hearing from the Federal Railroad Commission that there may in fact be technology that will test the tracks every time a train goes over them. I mean, if you think about the value of that, getting early detection and early warning in terms of any kind of track default or track deficiency, that could be critical to stopping derailments. And so, you know, I've got three categories that I put all this in, Mike. First is, let's prevent derailments. Second, let's take a look at how we can move this product in and prevent catastrophic results if there is a derailment. And that includes tank cars, knowing what's in there. And my third concern is really for the first responders, which is we need to know what that is, how it behaves as a matter of chemistry, and how do we fight a fire like this so that we avoid catastrophic results if unfortunately there's a derailment.
The other question I get from listeners or friends or whatever is, aside from the technology of the rails themselves, isn't technology available to have the cars themselves safer, the tankers themselves safer? Can they be made of different materials? Can they be, you know, what can happen there?
Mike, that'll be a big point of discussion, the 111s, the 1232s, which is the new iteration, and whether they need to rehab either version of those cars. But then what's the next iteration of the 1232? And Burlington Northern, I think quite responsibly, has taken a lead on this. Now you see them talking about how they may, in fact, make purchases of even greater enhanced cars. But, you know, no one's going to make that investment until we get feedback from the federal regulators, and that's what's so critical here. When they went to the 1232s, they asked the federal regulators to weigh in, and those federal regulators didn't come forth with any opinions or points of view, and so this was an initiative undertaken by the industry itself. Now they're saying, look, with all of this happening and with concerns that people have for safety, it's time you weigh in. It's time you bring your expertise to the forefront. And so we'll hear about side shields. We'll hear about front and back shields. We're going to hear about increasing the depth or the width of the tank car itself, the carbon steel that's on the tank car. And again, going back to, we need to know what this product is. You're going to hear a lot of people talk about the corrosivity of Bakken crude. What do we need to do? Do we need to coat those tanks? What kinds of things can we do to avoid those issues long term?
Sure.
But this is a work in progress, but I will tell you this, Mike. I wanted this hearing because so often in this town, when you have a big event that drives public policy, you know, out of sight, out of mind, you know, in the past, never to be heard of from again, this kind of hearing makes it front row and center. We're going to do everything that we can to continue to keep this as a very, very high priority for DOT, as a very high priority for the United States Congress, because we're going to move this product on the rails, and we need to guarantee that it's as safe as it possibly can be.
Last question. I'll let you run. I know you're busy. Fargo-Moorhead diversion, no money in the president's budget for 2015. Is there ever going to be money in anywhere in federal government or in Washington, D.C. for the Fargo-Moorhead diversion?
Well, I mean, it's frustrating, although I will tell you that there is money in this budget for finishing the planning stages. And our great hope is that they're going to use that money to address concerns of upstream users and upstream landowners, because I will tell you this, we need to have a united front in North Dakota pushing this project forward, and we need to accommodate concerns of everyone within the basin, and that includes the folks in Minnesota. And so, you know, we're going to finish up the planning. I think everyone, no matter what you think about this project, agrees that Fargo-Moorhead long-term needs some stability in terms of a flood control project. What that's going to look like, I think, remains to be seen. But the federal government has a role to play in this. And if we can get this project authorized, if we can get a united position from the people of North Dakota going forward and Minnesota going forward, we have a much better shot.
Thank you, Senator Heitkamp. Always good to talk to you.
You bet. Take care.
You bet. That was United States Senator Heidi Heitkamp on the Mike McFeely Show. Far behind on my break here. Need to take a break. When we return, your phone calls, your questions, whatever you want to talk about, 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. This is KFGO.